Good evening and welcome to the KRFP Evening Report for Wednesday, September 10th, 2025. I'm Lee Robartis in the news tonight. Right-wing provocateur and close Trump ally Charlie Kirk assassinated on Utah college campus. He was a visitor to the Palouse. History of women's suffrage in Idaho, which was the fourth state in the nation to give women the right to vote. And the White Pine Fire in Latah County, north of Harvard, is 800 acres. Now, we'll have details on those stories and more coming up on the KRFP Evening Report. And live in the KRFP studios in Moscow, Idaho, I'm Lee Robartis, and this is the KRFP Evening Report. A shooter has killed right-wing provocateur and close Trump ally Charlie Kirk on a college campus in Utah. Authorities took someone into custody on the campus, but a person familiar with the investigation who was not authorized to speak publicly told the Associated Press the person seen taken into custody was not the shooter. The right has credited Kirk, who founded the right-wing youth group Turning Point when he was 18 years old, with helping Trump mobilize the youth vote during last year's election. According to an account in the Associated Press, the 31-year-old Kirk was sitting under a canopy at an outdoor event on the Utah Valley University campus in Orem earlier today, taking questions and replying with a handheld microphone. An audience member asked, "Do you know how many transgender Americans have been mass shooters over the last 10 years?" And Kirk replied, "Too many." Another questioner then said, "Do you know how many mass shooters there have been in America over the last 10 years?" Kirk then asked, "Counting or not counting gang violence?" At that point, a single shot rang out, and Kirk's right hand went to his neck, which was spurting a large amount of blood. Spectators began to run away, fearing a mass shooting. Authorities evacuated the campus, and the university canceled classes until further notice. Armed officers went door to door in the neighborhood near the campus, asking for information about the shooter. Officers showed photos of a person or people of interest to nearby residents and asked if they recognized them. Reaction to Kirk's stop on the American Comeback Tour on the Utah Valley University campus had been polarized. Nearly 1,000 people signed an online petition asking university administrators to ban Kirk's appearance on campus. The university issued a statement last week saying Kirk has a First Amendment right and affirming the school's commitment to free speech, intellectual inquiry, and constructive dialogue. Trump wrote on social media today, "No one understood or had the heart of the youth in the United States of America better than Charlie." Democratic California Governor Gavin Newsom, who hosted Kirk on his podcast in March, wrote, "The attack on Charlie Kirk is disgusting, vile, and reprehensible." Former Democratic member of Congress Gabrielle Giffords, who was nearly killed in an assassination attempt in her Arizona district in 2011, said, "The murder of Charlie Kirk breaks my heart. My deepest sympathies are with his wife, two young children, and friends." Republican U.S. Senator Mike Crapo of Idaho wrote, "Charlie was a leader in the conservative political movement with many promising years to come. His assassination is a vile and reprehensible act of political violence. Charlie promoted open dialogue and invited conversation from people of all backgrounds, especially with those with whom he disagreed. This loss to the conservative movement is deep." U.S. Senator Jim Risch of Idaho wrote, "Horrific acts of political violence must come to an end. Please join me and Vicky in praying for Charlie's family, loved ones, and the countless people impacted by this tragic loss." Idaho Governor Brad Little wrote, "Please join me in praying for Charlie Kirk and his family after today's sickening attack. Idahoans vehemently condemn this violence." Kirk had brought his America Comeback Tour to Boise State University in April and spoke at the Nampa Civic Center in October 2021 as part of the Exposing Critical Racism Tour. The Idaho Press reports during that event, an audience member addressed Kirk repeating false claims that the 2020 election was stolen from Trump and saying, "This is tyranny. When do we get to use the guns? Literally, where's the line? How many elections are they going to steal before they kill those people?" Kirk replied, "Now, I'm going to denounce that and tell you why, because you're playing into all their plans and they're trying to make you do something that will be violent. We are close to having momentum to be able to get this country back on a trajectory using the peaceful means that we have." Kirk also visited the Washington State University campus in Pullman in March. It was his second visit to the campus after a visit in 2018. Then WSU Police Chief Gary Jenkins said the visit this year was uneventful and there were no disturbances that required police. Washington State University President Betsy Cantwell wrote in a statement today, "The assassination was a tragic loss of a young life." Cantwell also wrote, "College campuses can and should be places where speakers are heard, ideas are exchanged, and communities respond with civility. That is the standard we should all aspire to uphold." While on the Palouse this year, Kirk also appeared on stage at the New Art Theater in Moscow with controversial pastor Doug Wilson. A Christ Church-affiliated Facebook news page published a photo of the two, but did not report what they spoke about. University of Idaho History Department Chair Rebecca Schofield gave a presentation yesterday, after a showing of the Idaho Public Television short documentary Ahead of Her Time, Schofield explained how supporters of women's suffrage had to develop constituencies to get their constitutional amendment on the state ballot in 1896 to allow women to get the right to vote. Idaho was the fourth state to approve women's suffrage, 19 years ahead of nationwide women's suffrage. At the time, supporters had to maneuver a political climate that included racism and the aspirations of religious groups.
Everything from sort of xenophobia in the West and who is migrating here helped drive those conversations, but also the notion of whether women should get the vote because they are the angels of the home and will help uplift American society, or whether they were just regular humans and deserve the right because they paid taxes. And that sort of struggle between those two narratives were really important in Idaho, particularly because, as Kathy and I argued, two of the biggest constituencies that needed to be convinced were men of the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints and minors. And really, I think the trauma, upset that came with LDS members being disenfranchised in our Constitution under anyone who adheres to a religion that embraces polygamy, that really sort of burned itself into the memory of a lot of LDS men. And so when there was an opportunity to enfranchise women and sort of strengthen their political position in the state, that was absolutely embraced. Whereas minors were just like, we just want alcohol. And they really didn't like the sort of tying of women's rights to the Women's Christian Temperance Union and the push for prohibition of alcohol. And so women really, in all these different districts, had to walk a very careful line between getting enough voters without becoming so vocal that they actively drove controversy or a kind of negative campaign.
That was University of Idaho History Department Chair Rebecca Schofield. Schofield also spoke about the racial issues of the time.
The rhetoric that went into why women should vote. In fact, it was usually in order to make sure that men of color could not vote and tip any majorities, right? So the way in which Chinese women navigated the state at this time, I think something like 25% of our state population was Chinese before the major drives to kick them out of the state happened. Native women have always been here, and then of course there were a lot of efforts put into place to ensure that Black immigrants did not come to Idaho. Everything from when Idaho was part of Oregon, the bottom half, the very famous Oregon Lash Law that prohibited Black settlers from coming to the state, free Black settlers from coming to the state, to the rise of the Klan in the early century.
One member of the audience asked about the current political climate and how it might impact women's continued right to vote.
We are one of the only democracies in the world that doesn't guarantee the right to vote based on citizenship. Like, that's fairly bananas. That it is not a part of every citizen's right. And so obviously we have a lot of attempts to make sure that voter rolls are being purged and to make voting more difficult and sort of suppress people's right to vote. And what I really want young people to understand is that can happen. Like, you can just lose your right to vote very, very easily. And to be perfectly honest, we have people in the highest offices of government retweeting, "Let's repeal the 19th Amendment."
That was a reference to War Secretary Pete Hegseth, who is a member of a congregation in Tennessee affiliated with the Moscow-based Christian nationalist movement led by Christchurch pastor Doug Wilson.
Women are their own thinking, autonomous humans who just can formulate complex ideas and understand their own needs and wants. And that comes from my own mother and my own father, raised in Idaho, and that's what I'm teaching my kids. So I just get worried when anyone starts to talk about why they should have a right that somebody else shouldn't. That leads us down extremely dark pathways that human history has walked before, and we know where that ends, and I don't think any of us want to go that way.
That was University of Idaho History Department Chair Rebecca Schofield speaking about women's suffrage in Idaho. KRFP citizen journalist Brenda Cox contributed to this story.
Programming on KRFP is sponsored by listeners like you and by Palouse Prairie Charter School, an EL Education accredited expeditionary learning model school serving students in northern Idaho. PPCS is a free public charter school that combines hands-on learning, rigorous academics, outdoor adventure, and character development. PalouseprairieSchool.org. Programming on KRFP is also sponsored by Moscow Contemporary, which connects, supports, and creates community through art and arts education. Moscow Contemporary is located at 2012 West Pullman Road and moscowcontemporary.org.
The White Pine Fire north of Harvard in Latah County grew from over 500 acres yesterday afternoon to nearly 800 acres later yesterday, after shifty winds pushed the fire across Forest Service Road 768. There have been recent storms, and they brought erratic winds. Firefighters are also battling low humidity. An InciWeb report this afternoon said 288 personnel are fighting the 792-acre fire, which is 10% contained. The report said the fire was making active uphill runs, and there is group torching. The report says fuels are dominated by spruce, cedar, and other conifers. Dead and down fuels with standing snags are prevalent in the numerous areas of previous wildfires. Heavy canopy in areas of steep terrain are found in this area. Falling large cedar trees along creeks is a serious hazard. The report says the expected containment date is October 31st. Meanwhile, the Island Creek Fire between Elk City and the Selway River has burned 14,800 acres and is 5% contained.
More incoming college freshmen have received mental health support in the past and are planning to use campus resources to meet that need, according to new research. A poll by Timely Care finds 65% of students have been to therapy before starting college, and 83% expect campus mental health support. Carrie Hayes, the Assistant Director of Well-Being at Central Oregon Community College, says those numbers are not a surprise.
The 18-year-old, 19-year-old cohort that's coming in, they are able to discuss mental health among their peers and with adults in their lives in a more open manner than we have generally seen before.
She adds Central Oregon Community College is meeting the rising demand by partnering with a mental health agency to provide near constant access to services, both in person and virtually. There's been an uptick in the number of young people interested in therapy since 2020, explains Hayes. Information related to mental health is also more accessible now than in any previous generation, she adds, which has helped ease some of the stigma.
They also have, as we know, much greater access to the mental health providers via telehealth than we have seen before, especially in these rural areas.
The most common mental health struggles students are facing, says Hayes, are anxiety and depression, as well as the stress of transitioning from high school to college. For Public News Service, I'm Isabel Charlet.
September is National Suicide Prevention Month, and LGBTQ youth in Wyoming and around the country are finding it harder to receive support because of a move by the Trump administration. In July, the Substance Abuse and Mental Health Services Administration removed the Press 3 option from the 988 Suicide and Crisis Lifeline, which sent people to a hotline that specializes in supporting LGBTQ youth. Sarah McHale is CEO of Time Out Youth, which provides support for therapy and housing. She says there's already anxiety among young people about the Trump administration, and cutting the Press 3 option will only make matters worse.
They hear the person who leads this country cutting funding for something that is directly connected to saving their lives. So it continued to send the message of, we don't actually care if you exist or not.
The Trump administration says funding ran out for the specialized hotline. LGBTQ youth are twice as likely to experience a mental health condition compared to their peers, and the numbers are even higher for transgender youth. The Trevor Project had been contracting with the government on the 988 line for LGBTQ youth. They still operate a hotline at 866-488-7386. The Trans Lifeline also offers mental health support at 877-565-8860. McHale says she still refers people to 988, but cautions that the person on the other end of the line might not be affirming of their identity. She also notes that there's a misconception that LGBTQ people call lifelines to talk specifically about their identity, but that's not usually the case.
Far more often, what our young people tell us is it's just the implicit understanding of your lived experience. You don't have to explain why school feels difficult or you're struggling with your parent, because that person understands that your identity creates barriers for other people to try to relate to you.
McHale says Time Out Youth continues to center joy in the LGBTQ experience. She says young people's resilience gives her hope for the future.
That I can see young people being themselves even more in the face of this makes me feel really hopeful that young people are going to save us if our elders would just step back and let them.
This is Eric Galatis reporting for the Wyoming News Service.
And that's it for the KRFP Evening Report for tonight. Weather for the Moscow Pullman area, 50% chance of showers and thunderstorms tonight. Widespread haze before midnight, mostly cloudy, low 54. Tomorrow, 40% chance of precipitation, chance of showers, thunderstorms also possible in the afternoon. Widespread haze after 4 p.m., partly sunny, high 77. 60% chance of precipitation Thursday night, chance of showers and thunderstorms before 2 a.m., and then showers likely, widespread haze before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy, low 53. Up to a quarter inch of rain possible, except higher amounts in thunderstorms. And a 40% chance of showers on Friday with thunderstorms possible after 2 p.m., partly sunny, high 76. Currently 77 degrees. If you want to help KRFP keep newscasts like this on the air, plus the newscast you hear about during Morning Mix, plus the music and arts programming you hear every day on KRFP. Be sure to become a member of KRFP. Memberships are $35 a year, $20 for students and low income. You can mail your memberships to KRFP, 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. Or you can go to the KRFP website to find out more ways to help KRFP. There's a drop-down box that says Support KRFP. You can underwrite programming, which is a cost-effective way of letting our listeners know your business supports community radio or your nonprofit. You can adopt a DJ. There's a PayPal option and a Patreon button as well. And once again, we'll gladly accept checks of any amount at KRFP 114 East 3rd Street, Moscow, Idaho, 83843. I'm Lee Robartis. David Katz assisted with tonight's newscast. Have a pleasant evening. This is KRFP Moscow Pullman, community radio for the Palouse at 90.3 on your FM dial and online. Flashpoints is coming up next. 7:30, we'll have an archive edition of Lockdown Mosh Pit, Grateful Dead Through the Decades, 8:30 to 10, and more programming after that. KRFP Moscow Pullman.
Love's Kombucha is proud to support KRFP, Radio Free Moscow. Love's Kombucha is a fun, lively, fermented probiotic tea that is craft brewed right here in Moscow. Available online at loveskombucha.com.
For information on becoming a KRFP underwriter, go to krfp.org and click Support KRFP.
Can we fix gerrymandering? I'm Bill Newman for the Civil Liberties Minute. A recent New York Times editorial argues yes, and in support makes these points. First, thanks to sophisticated computer software, gerrymandering, drawing the lines on electoral maps to achieve a specific result, has become both extremely sophisticated and extremely accurate. Second, the number of competitive congressional seats, 34% in 1996, over time has plummeted to 8% as of 2024. And after Texas's recent gerrymander and California's potential response and other states following Texas in the 2026 election, over 95% of congressional seats will have been decided before any votes are cast. Gerrymanders mean that elections are, as a practical matter, decided in a state's primary, a party primary, which traditionally has low turnout and where the most extreme candidate often wins. The Times ultimately argues for independent state commissions, responsible for drawing fair maps that reflect the will of the voters. 20, mostly blue and purple states, already have such commissions, but 30 other states don't. The newspaper's conclusion? Gerrymandering has a 200-year history and has been engaged in by both parties. But it is a form of cheating that disconnects political power from the will of the voters. And it is preventable. To which we add these words, at least in theory. The Civil Liberties Minute is made possible by the ACLU, because freedom can't protect itself.
KRFP, Moscow is the best in the USA.
Yeah.